Acts 16, verse 22 through verse 30. Acts 16, 22 through 30. And the crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer had been roused out of sleep and had seen the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Let's pray. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for waking us up and bringing us here this morning. And we just want to praise you. We want to worship you this morning. And we just want to thank you. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you will come and speak to us. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think most of us are probably familiar with this passage. Paul and Silas, they are going around as missionaries, right? They're missionaries. And they try to get to, I should have looked up beforehand. They're trying to get to another region, but in the beginning of chapter 16, they get a vision from God, right? They get a vision from God that's, you know, and he sees a man from Macedonia standing and saying, "Hey, you need to please come to Macedonia and preach the gospel there." So Paul gets direction from God, right? Guidance from God to go to Macedonia, preach the gospel. So he obeys, right? Paul and Silas, they obey and they go. And they have, some success in ministering. If you look in from verse 14, you know, they minister to Lydia and they meet some people, and they also cast out a demon from this slave girl. But out of that experience, by casting out the girl, the slave girl, the owners of the slave girl get angry with them because she was the one that was making money for them, and they cause trouble. And in verse 22, from where we read, Paul and Silas get imprisoned. So, and we can see that, you know, Paul and Silas, they really had direct revelation from God to know where to go and what to do. And so they were following God's guidance, but that led them to imprisonment, you know. Usually we think if you're obeying God and following his guidance, oh, then everything will be smooth and, you know, everything will fall into place, but not necessarily the case. These guys are following the Lord, but it leads to imprisonment. But we can see that their response in verse 25, it says, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God at midnight, and the prisoners were listening to them. And that's basically what I want to talk about. You know, sometimes we go through life and we go through really difficult times, even though we're obeying, even though we're walking in obedience and we're trying to hear from God. So not necessarily when you're going through a difficult time is it because you are walking away or not following God. Sometimes, you know, you can even be very obedient, you listen to God's guidance and you're obeying and walking in his guidance, but it still leads to, you know, not imprisonment for us, but times of trials and difficulty. Like, for example, for me, right now, as a Cambodia team, we're about to go to Cambodia next week, and we've decided we're going to go on a fast this week. And I know fasting is so nothing compared to imprisonment, but I find that, you know, I'm walking in obedience because I feel like God's called me to fast, so I'm fasting. But my response is so different from Paul and Silas, you know? Like, I'll be in the office. Yesterday, I was in the office, and Kenny gets out some pizza from the fridge from Sunday, and he reheats it, and he's eating. And my response, I had to repent this morning. My response is like, oh, I cannot believe you're eating pizza, and I'm making this fuss about pizza, and how I make it such a big deal that I'm giving up food for 1 week. And, you know, it goes back to the whole sense of entitlement that Bruce Marciano talked about when he was here. He talks about how we, as a generation, we have such a sense of entitlement. We feel like we're entitled to this, and we're entitled to this, and we have a right to this. And, you know, I feel like I'm entitled to food and to eat whatever I want to. So for me to give that up, I feel like I wouldn't say it out loud. I'm saying it out loud now. But, you know, I just feel like, wow, I'm giving up so much. You know, like, that's the feeling, that's the sense I have. Like, oh, Lord. I mean, I don't say it to the Lord, but in my heart, I just know in my heart, that's how I'm feeling. I'm like, wow, I'm giving up, you know, eating, and it's such a huge deal, and, you know, like, I feel like it's so much that I'm doing. But, yeah, it just spoke to me. You know, this guy, they're walking in obedience, and it leads them to imprisonment. And their response is praying and singing hymns of praise. And for me, I'm walking in obedience, and it leads me to fasting. And my response is, I can't believe, you know, I'm giving up this food, and I'm making such a big fuss over it. So, you know, we need to think about, you know, how do we respond to times of difficulty as we are walking in obedience? I mean, these guys prayed and sang hymns of praise, but they didn't know that by doing that, they were going to be released. Right? They weren't singing hymns of praise and praying so that, yeah, we want to be released and earthquake come down and release us from prison. Because if you look in Philippians, Paul is again in prison in Rome, but he's urging the believers. He's saying, hey, rejoice with me. You know, I'm in prison right now, but I'm rejoicing. And, you know, he says things like, you know, I have learned to be content with whatever I have. And that time he was rejoicing and praising, but didn't lead him to a miraculous deliverance. Right? But he still chose to rejoice and praise. You know, Mike Bickle, he's the founder of IHOP. I talked about him a few days ago, yesterday maybe. I really like him, but he's big on the Song of Solomon. And if you've ever read the Song of Solomon, it talks about the bride who, you know, represents kind of the church or an individual believer, and the bridegroom, which is Jesus. And it's very, very intimate, the way they talk about the relationship and the way they love each other. And you know, it talks about, like, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth, you know, and your love is better than wine. Because it's portraying a relationship between a man and a woman, right? But God also uses that because it's a symbolic thing between Jesus and us. So if you read it and if you kind of study it, you can be mistaken to think, oh, you know, it's like so romantic and it's so like, it's like sensual. And, you know, it's just kind of a weird kind of picture you're getting about your love relationship with Jesus. And, you know, if we start talking about, you know, loving Jesus and, you know, giving him all your heart and stuff like that, it can get quite flowery, and we don't, you know, we start to think it's just about this feeling, like feeling good and feeling nice and just kind of, like if a guy hears it, he kind of thinks, oh, that's so weak, you know, that's just so girly, that's so like, cheesy kind of thing, you know, but Mike Bickle, he really guards against it when he studies Song of Solomon. He says it's not like a sensual kind of thing. And the way, the example he gives of this love relationship, someone that is so passionately in love with Jesus, is Paul and Silas. You know, when they go to prison, like these guys are in prison, they're in the inner cell, their feet are fastened to chains, they're chained down to the wall, maybe, and it's midnight, so you know, they're cold, they're tired, they're hungry, they're beaten up, right? They say they received many blows upon them. So they're going through such a terrible, physically tiring, and everything so difficult, but in the midst of that, you know, they pray to Jesus, and they're singing praises of, they're singing hymns of praise, and Mike Bickle says, you know, this is what it means to have the Song of Solomon's love relationship with Jesus. It's not like you just go, you know, you're in the clouds, you know, you're just walking in love, and it's sunshine, and it's just romantic, and you're feeling good, and you know, just kind of that flowery image that we might have of someone that is in love. He says this is what it looks like to have a love relationship with Jesus. So I really like that, because, you know, it kind of gets me out of that kind of romantic idea of having a love relationship. But this is what it's about, you know. You're going through just the trials of life, the difficult times. And we can't even imagine being in prison like this guy, like these guys. But they're praising and they're singing hymns of praise. So I think just a good balance, right? Song of Solomon's is really like flowery language, love relationship. But the example of someone in that kind of relationship is Paul and Silas in prison. Midnight, cold, hard floor, you know, beaten up, and they're praising Jesus. So just today, I just want to encourage you, you know, we might go through times of life, you know, where it's really difficult. You know, you're walking in obedience. You know, it's not because of disobedience or sin that you're experiencing difficulty and trials. And I mean, for us that are fasting physically, it's kind of difficult. But let's choose to praise, you know, like Paul and Silas. Let's choose to rejoice in the Lord and say, you know, whatever may come, we're going to love you, we're going to praise you. So if Sam can come up and she's going to play the piano for us. Let's just close our eyes and allow the Holy Spirit to come speak to us. Thank you. pray together. Let's pray for our, just the leaders at our church. Pray for Pastor Sam, Lisa, Elise, and Emma. Pastor Sam, Kim, Annie, Micah, Noel, myself, and Kenny. Let's pray for also the house church leaders. You know, whichever house church you're in, pray for your leaders and pray for your, just your house church leaders. I think I would bless them and just help them to rest this time and get them ready for next season. And also we have two boards. We have a mission board who kind of prays and decides, you know, what to do with the missions fund that we have. And also the advisory board, they kind of are in charge of just offering money and some other decision-making process. So advisory board and mission board, the pastoral staff, and house church leaders. So let's lift them up and ask that God would bless them and keep them and really speak to them and draw them closer to Himself. So let's pray together. Jesus. If you have some time on your own today, you know, please pray, continue to pray for the leaders. I know it's not enough time to cover everybody. So, God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love. We thank you for who you are. And we sing, you know, this song, and we say, God, you are good to us. You're good to me and to everybody here. You're a good God. And so we just praise you. We want to worship you. God, I'm sorry just for the selfishness, the sense of entitlement that comes in the way of really loving you and living for you. And I just want to lay that down before you, God. And we just want to praise and worship you. And whatever we're going through, God, as we walk with you, you know, we want to make that choice, God, to worship you and honor you and praise you and to thank you and to love you and to rejoice in you. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you will come and help us. God, we need you, Holy Spirit. Be with us as we pray. Be with us as we go back to work. And I pray, God, that you will walk with us and that we will be aware of your presence, God, that we would be able to tangibly feel the love of God just with us, walking with us today. And so Holy Spirit, come and fill each and every person here. And we love you, and we give you this day, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.